me how to say ladies and gentlemen in gender-neutral terms.
Realize that you can watch all of the shit that's out there. Don't let either company trick you into thinking it's a us versus them thing. Just enjoy the wrestling. Whether it's WWE or AEW or NXT, you guys don't have to choose. You can watch it all. That's rad.
Fight forever, Guardian!
I think he broke it.
Look what you made me do!
And you're listening to Hell in a Cell Radio.
The Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Hell in a Cell Radio!
Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Before we get down to brass tacks, I have two side businesses I want to get through. One of them we're not going to be so happy about. The other one, the first one, we're going to be ecstatic about. Because I have only one event coming up this weekend, but you have a couple of things. And since this is the top of the episode, let's get these out now so people will hear this instead of going, oh, they're done. We're going to skip. Craig, Fan Expo Philly, and you have a couple of roundtables. Roundtables? I guess panels is the right word for it. Coming up.
Oh, the panels of all the world. Yeah, the panel in the mind.
Hi, Amber. Amber. What timing, Amber?
Yeah, perfect.
Yes, we need him further away from the microphone. Exactly, Amber. Yes, that's great. If you weren't so cute, I'd be upset, but you are cute.
Cat butt, everyone. Cat butt.
Everybody.
Take your stick and falls off me, you damn dirty panel. It's more panel. Hi, everyone. Fan Expo Philadelphia is coming to Philly May 3rd, 4th, and 5th. And May the 4th be with me, because on that May 4th, there will be a panel celebrating 40 years of Kevin Smith. And I will be on that one, the View Askew Universe, Saturday, May 4th at 1:30. Saying nothing about the following day, May the 5th be with you, Cinco de Mayo. I'll be doing not one, but two panels. But the first one, and the, by far the most important, is celebrating 40 years of Ghostbusters. And for the first time, live in Philadelphia, the host of HIEC Talk Radio and myself will be live next to each other doing a show together. Finally, together again for the first time, Dan Calachico and I will be celebrating 40 years of Ghostbusters. Who are you going to call?
Again, we meet for the first time for the last time.
Yes.
I can't put into words how excited I am. I'm really excited. The panel looks a lot of fun, and I already know, and I already talked to a couple people about this. Like, what do I do? What do I say? Because I'll probably, because everybody's like, you'll be fine. You talk, I'm like, but of course, I'm like, I don't know what to do. It'll be fine, but, and I don't mean this like I'm going to cause trouble, but I cannot wait till they ask me about Answer the Call, the 2016 reboot. I can't wait. Because I can't wait to spread my positivity about it. I can't wait to talk about that. And the experience of reliving a new Ghostbusters thing, who friend people I still call my friends to this day, talking about the new movie, what I think is going to happen. It's going to be so fun. But you have one more panel that day, do you not, sir?
I do have one more panel that day. Do I not? At 3:30 on May 5th, that Sunday, will be Comic Book Gurus podcast live. We're doing it live. 3:30 on Sunday, so I'll have time to decompress after Ghostbusters Answer the Call to do my other podcast that I host, and that one I will not be a participant on. I'll actually be leading, and it's Comic Book Gurus Podcast Live, 3:30, Theater 6, Room 24, Level 1, at Fan Expo Philadelphia. Be there or be square. I, of course, can do both.
Yeah, because Kate Mulgrew, she is going to be Square because she will not be there now. And I really wanted to meet Captain Janeway, but now I can't.
Yes, Jason Lee is also, yeah, Jason Lee also canceled, as did Monica Bellucci and Ben McKenzie.
Well, he's a fucking demon, so.
Yeah. Unfortunately, both Randy Quaid and Gina Carano will be there. They didn't cancel, so they will be in attendance.
Well, you know, wonders never cease. It's not like they have anything else going on. Lawsuits for something. I don't know. But maybe don't be anti-Semitic.
Maybe.
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe don't bite the hand that feeds you for no absolute reason. That's just me. What do I know? Damn the man. And the second thing we're going to talk about, just to get this out of the way, because I have a grievance with a Philadelphia radio personality, an actual grievance.
Uh-oh.
We're going to talk about this. It's not over yet, folks, but I hear the fat lady warming up. Sixers down 3-1 against the Knicks. Let's get this out of the way because we can talk about the happy horse shit after. Listen, he'll never hear this. I know my place, and it's at the very bottom of every rung of every ladder that you could think of as far as voice and radio. But I would like to talk about Howard Eskin for a second.
Please.
I knew you wouldn't have a problem with this. I don't know what it is. The type of man who would name their son Spike. This is your first clue. And fuck him, too, by the way. The type of guy who would send flowers to a woman and she would be murdered by her husband and he would take no responsibility for it. That's the kind of guy Howard Eskin is. It's the same kind of guy that would blame the only one guy that seems to be consistently showing up on a bum knee. Let me rephrase that. On one leg and with facial paralysis. But he's the one getting criticized by this white person. I'll say it. I know why. I don't like to default to that, but this has been, you know, this has been a thing he has done for years. He criticizes the one guy on that team that has been as consistent as he can. Let's not forget, Joel Embiid is, what is he, 7'3"?
7'2".
He's 7'2". The man's frame is massive. So he's got this massive frame on this big body. And he's running up and down a hard floor every night with rest. Yeah, you do it and shut up. And I don't know, is this the third year in a row his tire's gone flat? And I mean that in a respectful way of saying his knee's fucked up.
Yes.
Oh, also his eye's not working now on the one side because he's got Bell's palsy. And all due respect to Maxey, because he's the second best player on this team. That's the thing. He's the second best, and the other day, he was nowhere to be seen. And Embiid is the one with a bad leg again. I want to triple down on the bad leg and facial paralysis, literally taking the team that Josh Harris doesn't give a shit about on his back, but he catches the ire of Howard Eskin? First of all, Howard Eskin is the perfect example of not needing to be actually talented to be on the air. Preface this by also saying, I'm looking in the mirror. I get it. But I'm not. I just wish I could have paid Charlie Manuel an extra wad of cash to take him outside that one day. He wanted to take Howard Eskin out into the hallway and beat the living shit out of him.
Yeah.
Oh, I pray to the Charlie Manuel gods the Philadelphia Phillies gods every day that was true. Of course he didn't go because he's not about it. I don't understand why he so blatantly can call a man out who has literally been blood, sweat, and tearing this team, this city. And I agree with him 100% about what he said about the fans, too. Now, that's more about because why give a shit if Josh Harris doesn't give a shit? I get it. But that doesn't make Joel Embiid wrong about what he said about the fan representation the other night. But if there's anything you're going to criticize Howard Eskin about the team, you should probably direct it to somebody other than anybody else other than Joel Embiid. That's just my two cents you're never probably going to hear, Howie. Your thoughts, Craig. I have a feeling I know, but...
No, well, you don't know my thoughts on Howard Eskin because, like most Philadelphians, whenever Howard Eskin has anything to say or tweet, I'm not listening. So I don't know what he said about Joel Embiid. I don't know what he said about most of Philadelphia sports athletes, especially not the the most popular ones or the best ones. For those of you who don't know, when Charlie Manuel was managing the Phillies, Howard Eskin, the sports writer, who's supposed to be unbiased, you're just there to report on the sports, told Charlie Manuel, 20 years Howard Sr., to grow up. And Charlie Manuel, who's the nicest man on earth, and for him to stand up and to curse and say, I grew up a long fucking time ago. You're the one that needs to grow up. And if not for the other bench managers, you know, stop Charlie Manuel to going to. And for those of you who have no frame of reference, for you to get Charlie Manuel to get up and try to swing at you is akin to getting Tom Hanks to take a swing at a nun. That's like, what did you say to get him? What kind of, how low do you have to be to get Charlie Manuel to violence? So, that's what Dan was referring to when he told Charlie Manuel to grow up. By the way, that same year, season, he told Charlie Manuel to grow up, the Phillies won the World Series that year. So, take that for what it's worth. So,
yeah, well, that Howard doesn't know what he's talking about. Before you continue, I just want to show you real quick. Mm-hmm. This is what I'm referring to.
Okay.
The star of the team is not Joel Embiid. Hey, big guy, how about a stinking rebound in the fourth quarter? Tyrese Maxey is without question the best basketball player on the Sixers team. It's not even close. As if that we needed a fucking infighting amongst the team in the first place, you douchebag. So Kyle Newbeck said, in 20 years, Harold will pretend he never said most of this stuff, just like he did with Iverson, whose ass he now kisses because he's a desperate clout chaser. And then Howard, the douchebag, said, because he's an adult, coming from nobody who wants to be a somebody, you've got nobody locked up, a zero trying to become a one. Again, you have zero locked up. Jealousy is a horrible trait. Stay in your lane. Too bad it's a dead end. Also, thanks for letting me live rent-free in your head. And that's when I told him, if actual talent was needed to get a job in Philly Sports Radio, you'd still be a producer on overnights.
Yeah.
That was my message to Howard Eskin. And then the night when he posted 50 on the bad leg and Bell's palsy, I said, hey, Howard, you fucking clown, are you happy now, you mental dwarf? He won't answer because I'm a nobody, but my point stands. No, and like I said, ever accept flowers from him. Go ahead, Craig.
Yeah, and if anyone else had said that to Howard, you wouldn't have answered them anyway, because that's who he is. And you know that. And I don't know what the cabal of Philly sports journalists is that they to tear down our athletes, especially our most popular ones. I mean, we could do a whole nother podcast on the ones that said AJ Brown was upset and A.J. Brown wanted to leave, and A.J. Brown wanted to be traded. This is days before he signs an extension to stay here past 2029. So, again, when most sports journalists talk, especially Howard Eskin, I automatically stop listening. So I didn't know until you just showed that I had no idea what he said, and nor would I care. But it's sadly for the city that I love so much, it's par for the course.
That's exactly what I was about to say. Go ahead, Craig.
Yeah, no one hates Philly athletes more than the Philly press, it seems.
I just keep remembering. My mind goes to two people, Michael Layton and Ryan Howard. More so Ryan Howard, because Ryan Howard delivered you the ring on a platter, was part of delivering that ring on a platter, period. And that, and the media led the bloodthirsty march figuratively on him to out of town into retirement. And that's after his, look at me, folks, that's after his Achilles exploded on the last play. The Phillies were down and out. What year was that? 13, 14? I don't even know the year anymore.
It was 2010.
It's over. Done. Phillies are going nowhere that year. And this man's still trying to play his balls off on the last pitch of the game. Tries to beat out a run to first because he didn't get all the contact. And his foot exploded off the line. But we needed to get rid of him. God damn it. Why don't you learn and shut up?
Well, the same people that want to, that couldn't wait to get rid of Andy Reid. Fire Andy Reid. Fire Andy Reid. 13 years.
Kansas City.
Yeah. I mean, but 13 years he was our coach, and 11 of them we went to the playoffs in four straight NFC championships. Five altogether. But yeah, he was a problem. Thankfully, Andy landed on his feet. So,
had other things going on too.
Yes. No parent should ever have to bury their son. And he had to deal with that. Also, you know, on top of already being the head coach of, you know, the most popular team in the city of popular teams. So, yeah, but Andy, but I mean, we can start the Andy Reid, Donovan McNabb, Charles Barkley, the number of Philly athletes that were loved here and by everyone, they seemed, except the media in Philadelphia, everyone except the people that were supposed to write about them impartially, it seemed.
Fucking children. Yeah. Children. Speaking of children, you love that segue, sir? I'm going to do it for you because I know the timeline is running short. Speaking of children, let me just get this off the... Because a week and a half ago, I already labeled this episode as an all-elite dub with no question mark.
Mm-hmm.
Swerve was champion. Willow was champion. Mm-hmm. They're still the champions. But it took us 2 weeks to hear from Swerve. And Willow's kicking ass, as she only she can, because it's Willow. It's Willow Nightingale. That's what she's going to do. Swerve has probably deserved a championship for 4 years. And that's a knock on bookers in general, not just AEW. But here we are. We're finally a champion. And what did we get instead, Craig? We got a rehash of the bosses getting involved physically. Now, I want to say, before you go on, I've been waiting for this. I heard what happened, and I was like, not reading anymore, getting off Twitter. I'm going to watch with zero expectations. I want to see how it goes. I didn't say anything because I was bashing my microphone into my skull. Before we go on the air, there's a pre-roll of best ofs from 22.
Mm-hmm.
Which I do have to update it. I realize I'm like, this is old. I have to update it. But we're talking about certain people who should not be EVPs and certain people who should just bankroll the company and not be on TV. And if there was anything that further, I tried so much to be able to come onto this episode and be a contrarian to on purpose and say, no, this was great. It came off great. It was stupid. It looks stupid. Tony Khan is stupid. Where the fuck was my champion that week? I don't get it, Craig. I don't get it. I think the boat left me on the dock. I don't know what's going on.
No, well, you're not alone, Dan. A lot of people voice their concern. I'm not an AEW fan at all, and I couldn't understand why, after your 9-hour pay-per-view where you crowned a new AEW world champion, that the first show after that, your post-WrestleMania show, if you will, of your biggest pay-per-view of the year, and the IWGP champion got lots of love. The new FTW champion, who the belt means absolutely nothing because it is not recognized by any organization, but that new champion got a confetti and ticker tape and all that, and got time on the mic. But your brand new AEW champion, I'm not even talking about your first African-American champion, since we're using that term again. But he gets nothing. He gets a match against a guy who's never won. And again, a match that wasn't even built up. You finally put the belt on Swerve, something that you should have done 3 months ago. The time to put the belt on Swerve was to beat Samoa Joe was the previous pay-per-view, where they had to include Hangnail Adam Page in there for a triple threat. If you'd taken Adam Page out, Swerve should have won it right there. He'd never been hotter. I mean, he's still over. He's still, you know, the fans still love him. But you couldn't give Swerve his moment on the first show after your pay-per-view when you crowned a new champion. But the IWGP champion gets lots of love and gets to talk. The new FTW champion gets to have a ceremony in the ring and he gets to talk. But your most popular guy in your company doesn't get any celebration and wrestles a guy that no one cares about. And he wrestles him for 15 minutes. You have a 15-minute match against Kyle Fletcher, your new world champion. He couldn't open the show with a quick win. And the same move that he used, that Swerve used to win the world championship, he puts it on Kyle, the double stomp off the top, and he gets a two count against Kyle Fletcher. You remember the night after WrestleMania, Dan, when Steve Austin beat Shawn Michaels of the next WrestleMania, he had a 15-minute match against Taka Michinoku. You remember that, right?
Yeah, I remember. No, that didn't happen.
That's right, because it would have been fucking stupid. God, so no, I don't get AEW. You know, people have said it's only a matter of time before Tony Khan made himself a playable character in his fantasy booking. And to his credit, he sold it complete with the neck brace during the NFL draft this past weekend.
Yes, I don't know. He committed at least.
Yes. Way to go, Tony. But how is this helping your brand? And all this happened while AEW got the lowest ratings it's gotten, I think, since its inception. It got under 700,000 fans to look at this. And you can blame the NBA playoffs or...
I was going to say, well, it was the juggernaut that was the NHL, Craig.
You know, and it was on the same network as the NBA playoffs, but still, I mean, I can't use that as an excuse, because there was NBA playoffs last year, and they didn't get below 700,000 viewers. There was NBA playoffs the year before that on the same network, and they didn't get below 700,000. So, and this is right after your pay-per-view, your biggest pay-per-view of the year. So, no, they're a sinking ship. I don't like to see any wrestling organization go under, especially not one that had so many great wrestlers that I honestly do like, and not even counting the ones that I never heard of before AEW, but they got themselves over with the crowd and with me. And I'm talking about guys like Ricky Starks and Hobbs, Wardlow, someone guys that you can do something with that could give you ratings and could draw you. I know I got into an argument with a nameless drone on Twitter about the AEW stars and why they keep getting pushed. And I used an example of Daniel Garcia, and I got nothing against the guy. He's not going to draw you any money. And then I got in the argument, well, who cares about money? It's not about drawing. This is where my age comes into view, because professional wrestling has always been about drawing money. Because we're on TV now, and there's no such things as pay-per-views, and house shows are pretty much extinct. So drawing money is a forgotten concept. But still, if you're going to announce Daniel Garcia at a house show coming to this town, he's not going to draw you a dime. That's what I mean by not drawing any money. AEW doesn't have any stars, and the people that they're pushing as stars aren't stars. Kyle Fletcher isn't a star. Daniel Garcia isn't a star. As much as you may think he is, Orange Cassidy isn't a star. LA Knight could draw more just announcing him on a house show than anyone in AEW could. Possibly Swerve, maybe. But I mean, I use LA Knight as an example of a guy who's a star. He's not even a world champion. But so many WWE is so packed with stars that someone like LA Knight, you know, is not even top five. But he can still draw. He can still draw you money. AEW doesn't have that. And they've fumbled the ball more times than I can count on people that they could draw money with. And what they're doing now, I don't know how they dig themselves out of this. I really don't. If MJF came back tomorrow, Dan, I don't even know if that would do anything.
I don't think he's going back there. Quite frankly.
Really?
No. No. Well, I also, as far as I know, his surgery did not go well.
Really? I didn't hear that.
So he's gonna be out a little longer. Yeah, I'll look for that in a second. Injury update. Now I will say this. I worded this bass backwards, but I'll get it in a second. It's a sinking ship, but the ship will stay afloat as long as the cons put money into it. So.
Oh yeah, I mean it's not going anywhere. Yeah. They may not get the deals that they were looking for from Warner Brothers or Discovery or other because they're not performing, because their ratings are down, because they lose hundreds of thousands of viewers every week. I mean, from the start of the show to the end.
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't see that. Okay.
Yeah. So what's happening is the physical therapy did not work, so he had to have surgery on it.
Well, I wonder do you think his was like Punk? He had to pay for his own physical therapy. Did he wash their hands of him like they did with Punk?
I don't know. I mean, the other story is the longer he's gone, I still believe him as the best heel in wrestling, and he's not on the show.
Yes.
He's been removed from the roster page, but he still remains under contract. So that I would assume that they're taking care of that.
Yeah.
I certainly hope so.
I do too.
The other news from AEW was this: Darby Allin was hit by a bus, and he made it.
Yeah, and we still don't know if that was on purpose or not. It's Darby Allin.
Maybe it was.
He would walk in front of a bus.
Yeah. Sting, watch this. Oh, you're not here. yeah. So that's a thing that happened. WWE Speed also happened.
Yeah, this concept is lost on me. I know they do it. I thought it was a video game. I didn't know they were actually using real wrestlers. I know it sounds weird to say.
I did not know that.
No, I thought it was a video game, that it was that the wrestlers pit each other against each other in a 2K4 thing, or 2K24.
No, sir, this is a 3-minute matches, and Ricochet is your inaugural bead champion, which just sounds like drugs being done.
Okay.
Which is very wrestling.
Yes.
Listen, it's a short news week, man.
Yeah.
That's all I had.
So I have two. The WWE draft is going on right now.
Who cares?
If you're watching it, the Acolytes are live on the air. They're in Kansas City, and guess who's sitting front row, Dan? Speaking of stars.
In Kansas City?
In Kansas City.
Andy Reid.
Close. His quarterback is front center.
God. Mahomes.
Yes. Very good. He came.
Yeah, I know my black folks.
Okay. No, well, he came to the ring with Logan Paul.
Oh.
Yeah. And Logan Paul came with the United States Championship, and he was talking about how great he is, and out came Jey Uso, main event Jey Uso. And he gets...
Well, to be fair, they look alike.
Yeah. Jey Uso gets beaten down by the Judgment Day, by Bobblehead Jones and Finn Balor, and they hold him up. Logan Paul leaves the ring and goes to Patrick Mahomes, who's sitting front row. Patrick Mahomes slides Logan Paul his three Super Bowl rings that Logan puts on himself, shakes hands with Patrick Mahomes, goes back in the ring, and is about to punch Jey Uso with the three Super Bowl rings. Jey ducks, and he knocks out Bobblehead Jones, and gets his... Jey makes a comeback. Logan throws out of the ring, and he gets... Jey is double teamed again, but who comes out to save him but the returning Braun Strowman? Braun Strowman is back, and he goes after Logan Paul, and Logan Paul hides behind Patrick Mahomes plus two of the Kansas City Chiefs, whose name they're obviously offensive linemen, and they're very large, and they protect Patrick Mahomes. So Jey Uso gets in between Braun Strowman and the Kansas City Chiefs, and everyone goes home happy. But Patrick Mahomes, three-time Super Bowl champion, three-time MVP, front and center at Monday Night Raw, and that's what I mean by stars, ladies and gentlemen.
God, I didn't care about half of that, man.
I know.
Nothing wrong with Patrick Mahomes other than I hate him in a rivalry way because football. But Braun Strowman's back.
Yeah, Braun Strowman's back, yeah. Speaking of Paul, did you hear about Logan's brother, Jake? And the new rule? Yeah, the new rule that they've instated for his upcoming fight?
No, I'm afraid. Go ahead.
Well, Jake Paul, Logan's brother, has a fight in July on Netflix versus 57-year-old Mike Tyson. The rules have just now been published today. Uh-huh. This will be a sanctioned professional fight, which means this will count on both men's records. It'll be 8 2-minute rounds, no headgear. Knockouts are legal, and 14-ounce gloves. And there you have it.
I'm trying to put my skepticism aside because the smark in me is fairly certain this is a work.
Mm-hmm.
However, there is no chance on Phil Collins's God's on I fucked that up on Phil Collins's Green Earth that if it's going against Mike Tyson's actual record, that that man would take money over knocking this white piece of shit out. I don't know if you've ever seen the clip of me hearing the news of this match, excuse me, this fight being a thing even supposed to be happening before. When it was when Damian announced it on Nerd Herders, and I almost remember Dusty laughing during Shockmaster backstage. That was me live. I could not control myself. The funniest thing I've ever heard. And it keeps getting funnier. If this is a sanctioned match where it absolutely goes against Mike Tyson's career, you sold me, A.
Mm-hmm.
B, because there's nowhere on Phil Collins' Green Earth that I believe that Mike Tyson would be like, I'll work with you. That he's just not going to knock that boy out.
Yeah.
And I have never, other than a Genesis reunion, speaking of Phil Collins, Craig, there is nothing I've ever wanted to see more in the world other than to see Jake Paul get his half of his face punched into the upper mezzanine level of whatever venue they're at off by Mike fucking Tyson. I really hope this is real.
Oh,
not that the other fights weren't real, but those were works.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that in an insulting way.
No.
They put on a show. They got people to watch. They all got paid. Mike Tyson doesn't need your money. God, please make this real. Please. Oh, my God. That is the greatest, potentially greatest thing I've ever heard, Craig. Really?
Yeah, they made the rules official today that this is an actual fight. The record that it means it will count on both men's records. 8 2-minute rounds. Knockouts are allowed. 14 no headgear and 14-ounce gloves.
Wow! 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 Well, good luck, Jake.
Yeah.
With all sincerity, I hope not.
Now, Mike is, we're the same age. He's 57, but
you're both in tremendous shape.
but Mike stays in shape. And if you ever seen, and I think it's all stemmed, Dan, from Mike Tyson's workouts, you know, for the last year, and people were just showing him working out and his footwork. So I think that's where Jake Paul got it in his head that, hey, Mike still got it. I can I'll fight him.
You never had it compared to Mike Tyson, dude. Mm. Hey, I can't say what I was going to say. I can't say it. I can't say what I was going to say. You know what I'm going to say?
I have no idea what you're going to say.
Hey, assaulted somebody without regrets.
Mm-hmm.
You're dead, dude. And I'm smiling ear to ear. Here, I'll show everyone. That's a prospect of happening.
On
what? The Phillies are just starting.
Yeah,
got all that time. And I'm tired.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Time for that. The last thing I wanted to bring up, sir.
Yes, sir.
Because this is going to be a very nuanced discussion based on our history, mine alone. Tony Khan, after, hold on, let me put it this way, after a convincing performance on whatever show that was, I don't even know anymore. Collision? Dynamite?
Dynamite is when he got hurt, yeah. Collision was last Saturday, 2 days ago.
He was on the NFL Network.
Yes.
In an interview. And quite frankly, I don't care, so I didn't see the interview, but I did see the clip where he referred to the WWE as the Harvey Weinstein of wrestling. I have a few thoughts.
Please, let's hear them. Mm-hmm.
Okay. take this ride with me, folks. Stop me if I'm wrong. Anytime.
Let me know when I'm telling lies.
Let me know when I'm telling lies. Vince McMahon absolutely... Let me rephrase that sentence. Vince McMahon, and there's many that we don't know about yet, were involved in the cover-up slash dealings of the assault and sex trafficking, or however you're wording it, with that woman. And the dozen of other things that we haven't mentioned on this episode, namely raping a referee, covering up Snuka's murder, Owen Hart, you know, all these things that make me want to believe Vince is a stand-up person. He's a terrible person. The people that helped him along with those, terrible people. But this goes along to what I've always said about my criticism of the of AEW. Name names. AEW as a whole is not terrible. It's run by a guy who more or less doesn't know how to do that. And their EVPs are children.
Yeah.
That aside, there's so many talented people in that company I want to succeed there or anywhere. I don't care. They just deserve success. We mentioned Swerve. Yeah. We mentioned Willow. I hope they're champions for a long time, respectively, in their championships. Camille with NWA just signed with AEW this today. She's going to be huge. She does if they do that right. But we know that track record. Side note, stop putting Mercedes Benet on a microphone.
You could really see a WWE creation as opposed to someone who used to wrestle for the WWE. She's lost without WWE.
Mercedes, so she is an incredible wrestler, frankly, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Amazing in ring talent. But I can compare her to early 90s Sting as far as that microphone. Shouldn't be on it.
No.
Back to the point of the Harvey Weinstein, because I'm not defending Vince or any of the other executives involved in that. What I do have a problem with is how many times Tony Khan has paraded Ric Flair out on his television show.
Mm-hmm.
How many times he has paraded Darby Allin out. Mm-hmm. Paraded Darby Allin out. He's been a feature many times.
Yeah.
And there are allegations, which, contrary to unpopular belief, IWC assholes, has not been proven false. There was nothing that wasn't proven otherwise. It was just ignored, like everything else in wrestling when something bad comes out. No, that never happened. Move on, because he's a star. So don't confuse innocence with your placating of terrible people because you like him. That never happened. Just wanted to be clear on that, the four of you that listen. I just thought it's interesting. As far as I'm concerned, as a person, Tony Khan is probably, let me rephrase that, as a person, Tony Khan is miles away from Vince McMahon as far as person.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I know, I haven't heard anything else. Person, not even on the same shit level as Vince. You're still just another wrestling promoter who books and uses terrible people in spite of or just because. You're no different. You're not special. All that bullshit at that press conference, you were no different or special than any indie, Vince, Bischoff, in that sense, you are no different, nor are you on a higher horse than any of those other wrestling promoters. You just aren't. And the sooner you figure that out, the sooner you will say, stop saying stupid things like just them being the Harvey Weinstein of professional. Because you might as well be, Danny Elfman there. You might as well be, what's the balding redheaded guy? Not Bill Burr.
Oh, Louis C.K.
Louis C.K., Jesus. You might as well be the Louis C.K. of professional wrestling. If we're going to throw stupid names around, you fucking idiot. There are plenty of people on the staff and on the talent and in-ring, backstage, production, that have nothing to do with fucking Vince McMahon and any of the things that he's done. And there are plenty of people that are under your shadow in AEW that haven't done a thing to anybody while you're parading out essayers and nonsense. I just wanted to speak my piece on that. That's my soapbox for the week. Craig.
I agree. It still amazes me how they can put people like Ric Flair and Darby Allin, parade them on TV every week. Yet they couldn't put the Briscoes on television because of something that they tweeted 10 years ago and have since multiple times apologized for.
And he's dead now.
And then they put Mark Briscoe on TV after his brother died.
And let's just double down, Craig. He didn't just say sorry. The man, let me say this. I'm not saying I'm okay with Michael Vick because I will never forgive Michael Vick. It's not my place. Michael Vick put his money where his mouth was on top of doing the time he was assigned and still does. The Briscoe brothers did the same. Jay and Mark, Jay especially, did 300 mea culpas, apologies.
Yes.
Tenfold. And you still couldn't put him on TV. But Diddles over here, Fifi Diddles and Ric Flair, no problem.
Mm-mm.
And again, let me point out, allegations not found false. Allegations didn't find shit because nobody looked. They just saw screenshots and went, nope, and just went by it. Last time that happened, Snuka murdered his girlfriend. Anyway. Some stuff. Go ahead, Craig. I don't know. I just.
No, I don't know. And the hypocrisy, you know, is long, has plagued professional wrestling, and it still would. It also amazes me how Tony Khan will still punch up when he's on a national broadcast and still punch up to the WWE. I would have thought at this point that that's a fruitless endeavor, that you would spend more time talking about your own wrestling company that you're on, that you represent, that you're the head of. And if, because you have a national platform on the NFL network, something that the WWE doesn't have, so you're reaching an audience that doesn't know anything about you. Here's your chance to grow your audience. But again, Tony Khan is so easy to bait when it comes to getting him to do stuff or hearing. CM Punk goes on Ariel Helwani and talks about what happened to him in AEW. He didn't want to. He hates pulling back the curtain, but he said what he said and what happened with him and Jack Perry because he was asked the question, but he was reluctant because he's moved on. He was done with it. But AEW took that as some kind of personal attack, so we have to retaliate in the worst way possible. And that hasn't done anything to help their company at all. So when I see Tony Khan on a neck brace because he wants to be part of the action now, selling it, but when you're on the NFL network or on national TV, he's still punching up. He still wants to look up at the big bad monolith, or he's tilting at windmills. You have a chance to – I don't want to talk about them. I want to talk about my company. To their credit, and they're still around, TNA never mentioned WWE. Not one time. Even when it seemed like there was a conga line of WWE wrestlers going to TNA. They acted like, and AJ Styles even said this, we acted like we were the only company in wrestling. because as far as I'm concerned, we were. They weren't worried about what anyone else was doing or what they were doing. What was that stretch? One, number one never worries about what number two is doing. Number two is the only one that's worried about number one. And in Tony Khan's case, he's a distant two, but I don't know why you're worried about always. I don't know why he's still punching up to the WWE. That's one of the number of ways that he's failing his own company.
Tony, it's time to go home. Look on your dad's face during that segment we were talking about sums it up. It's time to go. It's time to just be the director or something. Be Kevin Dunn, just less annoying with less cuts. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Greg, do you have anything for Historian this week?
I just wanted to point out something that happened the week, April 20th through April 25th. Two amazing things happened. April 21st, I believe, in Madison Square Garden, Ken Patera defeated Pat Patterson to become the second man to ever win the Intercontinental Champion. Pat Patterson is always lauded over being the first ever Intercontinental Champion. The second man to hold that title was Ken Patera. He did it in Madison Square Garden. 5 days later, Dan, at the Kiel Auditorium in St. Louis, Missouri, on the same card that the NWA champion, Harley Race, took on Ric Flair, and the same card that the WWF heavyweight champion, Bob Backlund, took on Bulldog Bob Brown. So he had the NWA champion and the WWF champion on the same card. Ken Patera defeated Kevin Von Erich for the Missouri State Heavyweight Championship, which some would say is the NWA's version of the Intercontinental Championship. So within 5 days, Ken Patera won a WWF title and an NWA title and will hold them both throughout the summer of 1980. The summer of 1980 that wrestling fans will always refer to as the summer of Patera. Ken Patera
is... Does anybody actually refer to it as that?
Maybe it's just me.
Okay.
But the fact remains, Ken Patera is still the last wrestler ever to hold a WWF title and an NWA title at the same time in the modern era. Ken Patera would lose a Missouri State title in August of that year to a young babyface, Ted DiBiase. And he would lose the Intercontinental title December 1st, 1980, back in Madison Square Garden on the same day that John Lennon was assassinated.
Jeez.
But it's the fact remains, Ken Patera, history, made history that week in 1980, holding a WWF title and NWA title at the same time. No wrestler has done that since 1980, 44 years ago, and yet the man is still not in the Hall of Fame. Something that I hope will be rectified in the Triple H era. I thought it would be this year, but now that the Triple H era is here, I'm sure it would only be a matter of time before he is. And let's do it while he's still alive, folks.
Yes, let's not wait. Let's not wait. Well, Craig, where can the people follow you?
They can follow me, if they so choose, on Facebook, Instagram, X, and Threads at Craig Ligon, CRAIGLIGGEONS.
You can follow me on... well, I'll explain in a second. You can follow me on all those social media platforms. X. I'm still going to call it Twitter again because fuck Elon Musk. Twitter, Instagram, Hive, Blue Sky, Threads when I'm unbanned. Don't ask. I don't know what I did. I have no idea. I haven't been able to post for a week. They keep saying, your posts have been... Okay. Well, what did I do? You'll be able to post again on the 29th. Well, it's 29th. I still haven't been able to post anything. But you can find me on the TikTok. No, TikTok, it works. Hey, Danlaw83. For Craig Lagans, I am the above average comedian, which still, that still upsets people. Calling myself that, they still don't get it. It's beautiful to see. Love it every time. And just know that when somebody calls me that, if you see that happen on Twitter, know that I'm texting Dean going, look, dude, they're still doing it. We both get a chuckle out of it. We'll see you in the fabric of the universe. Good night, everyone.